Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Most Elect. I'm Ray.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Derek.
Welcome, guys. We have a really great episode today because Derek, decided to choose a book.
Suggested a book.
Okay, suggested a book. And I was like, oh my God, that's an amazing book.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Because I remember reading it and just excited my nerves. So I'm very excited for this episode.
Excited your nerves. That's jokes.
Oh, my poor nerves. Let's get started on a wellness check.
Wellness check.
This is definitely something that Alex added onto the program.
Yeah,
because when I wrote the plan, he went and amended it and said, well, wellness check, which I think is quite cute, actually. Take it off, Alex.
How is everybody doing? How's everybody going? I'm going to start with Derek.
Let me start.
Let's start with Derek. Go on.
No, because I've been terrible.
Oh, okay.
Do you know, the beginning of the week was fine.
Mm.
It was cool. And then I started this thing called depersonalization.
Okay.
Like some kind of like dissociation where like nothing feels real. You feel like you're in a bubble. There's loads of different symptoms of it.
Mm.
And that's just been happening for like the past 3 or 4 days. And I'm trying to figure out what it is. It might be that I'm taking... So I found some of my old antipsychotic medication and it knocks me out.
Mm-hmm.
I have trouble sleeping at the moment. So I thought, let me start take some of them to help me sleep. But they've expired.
Are you a mad person?
But expired...
Not literally.
I know, but...
Ray, please.
No, but...
why would you do that?
But expired... pills. I did some research on it, and expired pills, it basically just takes their efficacy down by like a couple, maybe like 20%.
So it just reduces the quality of the
pill. Yeah. So I've been taking those and I thought maybe it's because I'm taking them to help me sleep that's why.
Derek,
you know,
please don't please stop.
They're nearly finished anyway.
Why are you
But it could be that, could be many things. It could be I'm just stressed out because my birthday's coming up and I'm always stressed about my birthday.
What stresses you about your birthday?
Don't you get the birthday stress? The deep depression of your birthday man. Coming?
Of course I get the birthday stress. And my birthday stress is banging the festive period, though.
Just aging stresses me out, man.
Aging?
Mm.
Wow.
I don't like it. Such a strange concept to me. I don't understand. I don't get it.
You don't get that.
But you actually don't age, though. You actually are quite lucky in that you actually look the same as the, like...
But I don't know what I look like internally.
Well, you're very healthy, so I seem really good.
I mean, there was a period there where I was not healthy at all. I was drinking a lot. I was doing a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah.
I was eating a lot of junk food. So
and taking expired medication.
Taking expired. I mean, I wish that was the worst thing I've taken, but it's not. But yeah, so I just, it's been a bit weird and stuff. So I was in hospital actually for maybe like the third time.
Yeah.
And there just became this culture of kind of like, oh, what are they giving you today? Oh, they're giving me quetiapine. Oh, they're giving me this. There was one girl who was she was also a recovering alcoholic. Mm. And she was like, oh, they give me this stuff called diazepam to help me with the shakes. I was like, oh, let me have some.
No.
And she just started giving me some.
Like sweets, though. That's crazy.
Listen, we was all just swapping. So she'll be like, oh, I can't sleep. I'll give her some of my quetiapine. Or I think it's called Seroquel in America.
Mm.
And then that would knock her out. She'll give me some of the diazepam. It'll relax me and stuff. Obviously, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be doing this stuff. But when you're really ill, you're just kind of like, fuck it, I don't care. Whatever, just give me, let me take whatever. Do you know what I mean? Anyway.
That ought to say that.
Yeah, that ought to say that.
That's what's carried you through this week.
And I've been feeling a bit strange and whatnot. So, but I still had some diazepam left from when my doctor prescribed me. Mm. They only prescribe you like 5 because it's highly addictive. I think I had a couple left. So I took one of those and it relaxed me a bit. Okay. And I calmed down. But I mean, other than that, just work, reading a lot. I've read like 3 novels this week, actually, which is pretty good.
Oh, wow.
3?
Yeah, 3. All from the same author.
Okay, we'll get onto that in a minute then.
Yeah.
All right, Ray, how are you?
I was good, and in like the first few, because I was very much like gearing up to something, and I got really bad news like the middle of the week that like just messed me up completely. Mm. Not in a like depressive, actually, I don't know. I just feel currently a little bit lost. Like I kind of go into like a spiraling rut where I'm in my house, I don't do anything. I get crippling anxiety to the point where like I just don't want to move. So I've just literally been sat on my couch rewatching Bridgerton over and over and over and over again. Like I literally watch it go back to the beginning.
I thought your show was Grey's Anatomy.
I actually did watch Grey's, but the latest episode that came out. So I've just had a rut of a week where like my house looks a mess, like that depressive mess where like nothing is in its right place. If someone decides to come to my house, I will literally lose my mind because I have to then just
tidy up.
I'm very much, I had like a massive, I went to the girls. So I think that's what's really good, what I can do and how I work through things is by talking. And so I just will, I'm no longer afraid to be like, hi guys, I need help or like, I need to talk. And I just went to a group chat with one of my, like a lot of my friends. And I was like, so I don't feel like my life is going how I want it to be. I'm just like boohoo complaining, crying, complaining. And they were really supportive. So I have, you know, like my girls are really like nice in that sense. But there's this like thing where you reach your 30s and you feel like life is going to get better. Or like I've always had this idea that you reach your 30s and these big life goals and life moments that everybody else seems to be having will find you. And you realize that that's not the case. So it's like, oh, so what is my life going to be like? You know, I'm kind of like in that stage of my life where I'm like, okay, career, family, husband. I'm going to like a baby's first birthday tomorrow. Mm. And I'm so excited for it. But at the same time, I'm like, I want some babies. No, like, what the hell?
Do you really care that much, though? About having a husband and a family and that?
So, I never used to before that much. It was like my family, like, stress. But I really want some babies now, you know? I really want some babies. Like, I see myself more as a mother than as a wife, weirdly. But
that's...
Okay, in my head, I'm
that's
like,
so interesting because now you flipped up. Before you was like, oh, like, I'll let my child die to save my husband.
First of all, I did not say that.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Derek, oh my God, do not. Okay, I did not.
But you know what? I mean,
what did you say? The hypothesis was...
Would you choose your husband or your spouse or your child?
I think it's stupid.
And you should choose your spouse.
It is a stupid hypothesis.
It's a stupid hypothesis, do you know what I mean?
Hypothesis. But why am I calling it that?
It's a stupid like scenario. Hypothesis. Like science experiment. Because... For me anyway, like knowing like my family and stuff, I think it's when you have a family, like that nuclear family structure, it's really important for your children to see a really great marriage and understanding what love is through that kind of relationship. And I think that's what people are trying to say in terms of like building a home where, you know, the two pillars of a marriage and the relationship between mum and dad are in a way really protective, because at the end of the day, you both would choose your child because they're just in a position of like vulnerability more than you both. But that's not what it's referring to. Do you know what I mean?
But that's not what it is, though. Really.
Exactly.
Because you're choosing your spouse.
I mean, you were young when you said that.
I don't know.
I can have more children.
I know. But that was like such a stupid thing to say.
But at the same time,
I know that like in a household anyway, in terms of just like building a strong home, you need to have a strong foundation. And you know, if you have a marriage before children and you need to work on your marriage, because those kids will grow up and they'll turn 18 and they'll move away from home.
All of which we're gonna get into.
Wellness check. I'm a mess. wellness
having,
check.
Having
yeah.
a bit of an existential crisis.
I'm having the biggest existential crisis.
But it's because your birthdays are coming up.
You guys just, that's not the reason.
It's probably a contributing factor.
I don't know. I think living alone has an issue as well.
That's, okay.
So I live alone with my cat. I'm a proper cat lady. Fuck. I'm actually wanting another cat, and my aunt was like, no. One, I'm not looking after
you
two cats
when they're
like away. And also, I'm like, I'm going to be that 30-year-old with two cats. Do you know how amazing my cats have it?
It's great. Trust me. My ex-girlfriend's got two cats.
Yeah.
And she loves it. She's like, they save her. Like, they keep her going all the time. And
Zuri saved my life.
Have you watched Afterlife?
No.
So it's a show on Netflix.
Ricky Gervais
is in it. But there's a great scene where he's like, I think it's a scene he's in the bath. I think he's about to kind of like take his life.
Mm. Yeah.
And then his dog's kind of like hungry. So he's like, oh, fuck it. Let me just go feed the dog. And he does. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying.
He just takes you away.
Takes you away. Yeah.
And then I'm just like looking at Zuri and I start crying. I'm like, oh my God, like, who's going to look after you the way I do? Nobody's going to buy you the bougiest food. They're going to feed you on like Felix or whatever.
Yeah. Facts though. Felix is horrible stuff.
I wouldn't know.
We've just taken this episode completely different. Alex, wellness
you know
check.
What?
How
like,
are you?
You know what? I've been well this week, so I don't even feel comfortable saying this in comparison.
I'm mentally fine.
I'm good. I've just been integrating into my new job, and then figuring out how to get myself back on track, just both emotionally, financially, and just, you know. Not too happy with the clothes I'm wearing, so I need to figure out that.
Ooh.
Not too happy. Like, I want to get back into the gym properly.
Wait, what do you mean you're not happy with the clothes you're wearing?
When I say the clothes I'm wearing, my personal style. I'm not 100%.
What do you think your personal style is?
Again, it's something that I'm still trying to figure out.
Mm.
I've got like a Pinterest board that I'm trying to like build as it
to be
as
like,
I go.
What's your aesthetic?
Yeah, what's my aesthetic? What kind of person do I want to be, you know? When I'm out in the street.
You went from like really like put together, not saying that you're not put together, no, more like very like, I don't know, classic style, and then you entered your site, you're like rugged, poetic kind of era.
No, it was a tired era.
Okay.
It's been the tired era.
And now you kind of had this like alté phase where like you were doing something different with your hair.
Yeah.
You were very, before you were like, okay, I'm getting my fade. Da, da.
Yeah.
Didn't you have blonde hair at one point?
I had blonde hair.
Yeah, very alté.
You know what? Alté. Not even alté. You know what it was? It's the pandemic. The pandemic, being locked away for so long as well and not having to worry about your clothes or anything. You were just at home. Then I got bored. Because I was like, I wasn't growing my hair at the time or anything. And then it's just like, let me dye it. And then I kept dyeing it and seeing how that went. And then, I just got to a point. And then we unlocked. And then it was like, oh, I actually need to get my body back into gear. I've got all these old clothes that I haven't really changed or updated and stuff. So last year I did kind of refresh some clothes, but I do want to kind of change that as well.
So what kind
I'm
of
in,
like
I'm in this mindset of like, I don't, it's with regards to the age thing, I don't necessarily feel my age, but I don't feel like I dress my age, if that makes any sense as well. I just feel really like just
youthful, like you dress young.
I don't necessarily feel like I dress youthful, but I don't dress with much consideration anymore.
Okay.
Like, you know, some people put together,
and
put themselves together and then go out. I don't really do that.
They're always doing too much.
Yeah, but also it's a feeling.
I put myself together.
But it's a nice feeling when you have the, for me anyway, with the structure that I need, it's kind of like, I like having the clothes set up. And then I'm like, oh, sick. Okay, cool.
I'll never understand fashion and people who obsess over clothes.
Okay.
I've never got it.
First of all, that's a lie.
It's style.
I swear.
Do you know why that's a big lie?
Why?
Because you genuinely had a whole phase.
You're wearing
where you
sunglasses
were into,
inside.
Like, suits. And you were so like, very much like gentlemen. You know those American men who like walk down the streets.
Yeah, Ray, that's called mental illness.
No, it's not called mental illness. The thing is, Derek.
No, you really like.
Yeah, out of nowhere, right?
Yes.
No.
You took such good care in how, like, you put yourself together.
Yeah, but it was just the BPD phase. I have all of those suits now, and I don't use them. I never wear them.
Think about it more like this: you step out of the house, you are even if you are on your simplest day, you are still put together. That's what I observe with you. Even in what you're wearing
you
now.
You do wear black, actually.
I just wear black all the time.
But that's the thing. But there's wearing black, and then there's wearing black, if that makes any sense. It depends on the cuts. Depends on kind of what you're wearing. It doesn't necessarily, just because you're wearing black, doesn't make it boring.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But I just don't take any consideration when
I feel like you do. But
I think you do.
Yeah.
But so you don't realise it.
Maybe.
Like, you do wear black.
You just have a bit more, you just know what you're wearing.
You have a uniform.
Yeah, I have a uniform.
Right.
I definitely do.
So, but yeah, man, for me, I'm just like, yeah, I've just been pretty good. Just out here cracking on.
How lovely for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'll just be out here cracking on, man. So this week we are reading An American Marriage by Tayari Jones. And before we get into this book, let's have a bit of a chat about what we're reading. I'll go first because I've just finished this morning. I finished How to Stop Time by Matt Haig.
I love that book.
And it's funny that we're talking about aging and all this stuff.
I've not read it yet.
You've not read it yet. But yeah, but the book is, yeah, I mean, I love the book. I mean, the quality of the kind of stuff that he talks about generally across his books is pretty much the same. The human condition, mental health, what would happen if, ? And then he just kind of runs in with a bit of the speculative fiction stuff. So
I forgot it was about a guy that can't age, right?
He doesn't age. Ages physically 1 year every 15 years because he's got a condition called anageria or something like that, like the opposite of progeria. Which means that he has a slow aging thing. Mm-hmm. So the main character's born in 1500s. Mm-hmm. And so by the time we get to him in the book, he's 400 and something years old.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just exploring.
Is that like the premise of Orlando by Virginia Woolf, where the character doesn't age or something?
Don't know.
I haven't read it,
but I saw the film. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it's
a really great feel good. Book,
yeah,
it?
It does make me feel
good. Tilda Swinton plays Orlando, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It does make me feel good. It was a good book. Good story. Yeah, man. And like, there were nice little quotables that I took from it just to think about time and aging itself and what that means. Yeah, it's a good book. I enjoy it.
Oh, my God.
I enjoy it.
That's so hilarious because I restarted because Hanya Yanagihara's...
Paradise Lost.
No, The People in the Trees. Uh-huh. And I have started and restarted it so often, like the last few years. But now I'm like, I'm going to sit down and actually get it, like read it. Because I really love her writing. It's just very dense, that book. And there's just a lot of, because it's like almost like scientific as well in terms of what she's trying to explain. Because it's about these Amazonian people who have actually found a cure to like aging. And essentially, if you have this like thing taken from like natural whatever, I think it's like an animal or something, or a plant, it basically makes you almost immortal. And that's what I've restarted reading.
What's it called?
The People in the Trees.
I've got it at home.
So have you read it?
No, I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. I'm reading that, and I mean I love Hanya's writing. I think her writing is so sophisticated, and when I was younger, I was like, I really want to write like Oscar Wilde. Okay, I was like, yes, I really want to write like Oscar. If I could write like anyone, I'd want to write like Oscar Wilde, because I just find his writing just so like fun and yeah. And now
revisit the picture of Dorian Gray. You do not want to write like that.
We'll see.
It's very cloying. What I'm reading, I've been binging at Richard Yates, actually.
Boo.
I started off with Revolutionary Road, which I was meaning to read that for like 3, 4, 5 years, actually. My ex-manager at Penguin was like, oh, it's her favourite novel, and she read it in uni. Whenever someone tells me this is their favourite novel, I always make a mental note that I'm going to read their favourite novel.
Just to see what they like.
Yeah, it gives you a bit of insight into the person. And I finally got around to reading and I was like, oh my God, like nothing really happens. But it's just, I just felt like, okay, this is a kindred spirit. Like this Richard Yates, like I fuck with him. So I just went and bought all of his books.
As you do.
Yeah, so I've read like 4 now. The last one that I read was Cold Spring Harbor. Didn't really like it, didn't get on with it. It was his last novel, and I think that's maybe, it shows yeah, there was something really strained and missing about it. My favorite so far is A Good School, which is just, the writing is just fantastic. The stories, the vignette, it's just about kind of like what goes on in like a private boys' school. And then how the impending World War II affects their lives. Mm-hmm. It's really, really some really sad stuff. I mean, Richard Yates, he's, I was talking to the author Stephen Kelman, and he was like, one of his friends said that he's humorless. And I was...
Stephen Kelman's humorless or Richard Yates?
Richard Yates is humorless. And,
what does that mean? As in just unfunny?
Like, he just takes life too seriously.
Oh, okay.
Fair. Basically. And he definitely does, like, I mean, across the four books that I've read, I think maybe like four, maybe like 10 people have died. There's been like 10 deaths. Not all of them as impactful as others, but I get it. But I Googled him, I thought to myself, why am I really into this guy? I Googled him. And then obviously it's just like kind of the tropes that I just love about writers. Like, well, I don't love, but I tend to gravitate to writers who are like, he was an alcoholic.
Like Bukowski. And Hemingway and all that.
Like Hemingway, Fitzgerald, and he had bipolar.
How romantic.
Bipolar disorder as well. Mm. He writes about mental health really well. Like, okay. He really tracks it, like the kind of demise, the crack up, Fitzgerald calls it.
Okay.
So yeah, I've just been getting on with Richard Yates, reading his short story collection at the moment as well. Mm. I think it's called 11 Types of Loneliness.
Oh, that sounds very great.
Great title, isn't
it? Great title, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's got some good titles.
You know, you read so much, right? I always have this, like, I'm like, where do you read? Like, in terms of, like, at home?
Everywhere. Like, I'll be reading in my bed. If I've got to travel, I'm reading on my commute. Mm. You know, if I've got constipation, I'll be reading on the toilet. Like, listen, man, finished. I read everywhere, man.
So, like, your typical day,
yeah.
If, like, you're just, like, not doing much
yeah.
for the day,
you I wake don't up, do anything.
you do something, okay? So you wake up, mm-hmm. like, you know, do your morning routine, skincare. Blah, blah, blah.
No, my first thing I do when I wake up is I think, should I read something?
What?
That's
really?
The first thing I think when I wake up in the morning, I think, should I read something? And usually, and because when I read something in the morning, it's difficult for me to read. But then after a while, my brain just kind of focuses.
And is that?
And that sets up my focus for the rest of the day.
And is that like in your bed? Like, oh, that's
my
bed,
yeah. Because I've got like all of my books like around me. Well, I used to. But I've got most of the books I have now, they're all like around me. Mm. So I just kind of lean over and look, what do I want to read? What do I want to read? And just pick something out and then
where start do you reading read, it. Alex?
In my bed, on my commute.
Commute is the best.
When I'm cooking, when I'm eating.
How are you reading when you're cooking?
Depends on what I'm cooking. If I'm boiling pasta, then I can read a page or two.
Okay, interesting.
Like, you know,
so you read a lot at home in your bed?
Yeah, I tend to read, now that I've started this job, I tend to just read on the commute.
Yeah.
And then read on the commute back. And then when I get a spare time, because I'm trying to train myself so that if I reach for my phone, I can reach for my book instead. Do you know what I mean? So I'm trying to be like, move my hand to the book, especially if the book is compelling. But other than that, man, that tends to be how I roll.
I just read on my couch, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, I just read on my couch, and like when I try to go to bed, I try.
I guess for me,
I'm
not
someone that can read a bed. I can fall asleep anywhere. So as soon as I touch my bed, I'm gone. There's no like, I'm trying to fall asleep.
I wish I was like that. I think someone told, I don't think I know. Someone told me that one of the reasons I'm struggling with sleep is because I do everything in my bed.
Mm. Yes.
She was like, you need to actually get out of your bed
absolutely.
And do stuff so that you only associate your sleeping with your bed. Yeah.
Like in my bed is, as if I'm not, I have to be conked out. That's it. That's all I can do.
Oh, the good old days, boy.
Yeah, no, you have to like, and also like if you're troubled, like I used to have insomnia when I was at uni, and one, like I don't keep my phone in my room anymore. I try very hard not to. So I put it in like my other room. I have like, I also have like green tea or like peppermint tea, which is really like, make it like a nice routine out of it.
Yeah, I think that's what I need to do. Yeah.
And like, so
the tea works for me though. Sometimes the tea just really relaxes me, but currently I'm just taking pills.
Also, take magnesium.
I do. I take magnesium glycinate.
Yeah.
Ashwagandha.
Ashwagandha gives me a runny belly. Okay, don't like it.
Sorry, what's ashwagandha?
It's a root.
Oh.
It helps relax you. It's quite good for anxiety.
Oh, I need that. I need to run it up.
It doesn't work for everyone. No, not though. For everyone. Some people, it really makes them
There's reishi mushroom powder. That helps relax you as well.
Okay. I need that because I genuinely, like, I was like, even asking people, I'm like, what do people do for, like, crippling anxiety? Because the anxiety that I get is different, boy.
Reishi,
I just won't be able to do anything.
Okay.
I mean, you probably have to,
do that. But take don't do that.
I'm not telling her to become an alcoholic. No, I'm just like, if you have like a relaxing glass of wine or something.
Ignore this man.
A glass of wine.
Do you know what? I feel like I've got like the devil on the shoulder and I've got like, the angel on the shoulder. He's like, I can make it all go away.
No,
listen, when it comes to crippling anxiety, sometimes you have to take the hard road and to get out of it.
You need a shot of tequila.
You need a shot of tequila or you need a glass of red wine. You know, sometimes
you need a reishi mushroom and some ashwagandha root. You know what I mean? Sometimes.
But my problem crippling anxiety, I will fall asleep. But that's how I deal with things. Any little issue in my life,
your anxiety must be bad, boy.
Like, I get, like, hives.
Briefly,
sometimes.
Though, when you guys say insomnia, or not mean it's, like, it's just problems falling asleep.
Also, with me, I don't have problems falling asleep. I'll wake up. And then I can't sleep. But like in terms of like, it will be like 7 p.m., 7:30, and I'm knocked out.
That's a deep worry then, because not as in you've got a worry.
Yeah.
Because for me,
yeah.
That's for me as well.
Yeah, I always wake up.
I don't think I've had a consistent block of sleep for a long time.
For years for me. Yes. For me, it's falling asleep and staying asleep.
Oh, that must be hard.
So I'm prescribed something called Zopaclone. Which is it helps you fall asleep faster.
Name dropping Big Pharma.
He's keeping the whole industry together.
Well, I was prescribed them by when I was in hospital, tell me sleep.
Yeah.
And then that knocks me to sleep. And then I'm supposed to take promethazine, which you can buy over the counter at Boots or something. It's an antihistamine. Which is supposed to help you sleep throughout the night. Mm-hmm. But like you, Alice, I fall asleep, then I'll wake up maybe like 3 hours later. Or like an hour later sometimes, but it's because I think I read that the sleep cycle, you go through like 3 different sleep cycles every night, and I always wake up after the first one. Then it's hard for me to get back to sleep, and I don't really drink anymore. So
I bet you look at your phone during
the. I look at my phone to check the time, and then I put it down.
You know, I try not to. I'm trying not to look at the time until if I cannot get back to sleep.
So you know what I have?
I will probably pick up a book.
Yeah.
Then
don't do that.
Why not?
No, I can't do that. Wake me up.
Because if you do, because then your mind, for me anyway, is like for my mind to kind of like steady itself before it sees like blue light or anything.
Okay, I get you.
Do you know what I mean? Because then it will be like, oh, this is something. I don't know.
I got a clock that reflects on your ceiling. So, because I have a problem with like waking up and looking at my phone.
That is really cool.
It's amazing.
I might have to get that.
So I'll like send you the link where I got it. And like, my therapist was like, just get it.
It's very wholesome. Ray's got a clock on the ceiling. Most people have mirrors. Very wholesome.
With that being said.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So thank you for letting people know about my life.
With that being said,
ready for her? Let's, the clock.
Let's get onto the book.
Yes.
She just said, "You a single bitch. You ain't got nobody."
She's clocking the time. That's what she. That's all she got to focus on.
Damn, man, you ain't had to do me like that.
All right, Ray, you get into it first.
All right, so our book review for today is An American Marriage, the international bestseller, the winner of Women's Prize for Fiction 2019. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And it was like chosen by Oprah Winfrey for her book club. It follows the life of Roy and Celestial, a very modern black couple, and unfortunately, you know, the injustice of America's justice system. Roy gets put in prison for a crime he did not commit, and it just, you know, talks about and reflects on the lives of these two people, how it's broken. And then there is a massive issue of falling in love with the people that come and help you out. But also
falling in love. I don't know if she fell in love. I think he forced himself on her.
Do you think? No, that's taking much power away from Celestial.
I don't mean literally forced. I mean, he was like...
always there.
He was always there. Like, you know when you got a girl and there's just one man who's always lingering like, bro, why are you here, man? Do you know what I mean? They're just waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
Man was waiting in the wings.
So this guy basically went to prison and his wife fell in love with one of her good friends who was also one of his... like, you know, they were also getting to know each other. Mm. And she also has a really, like, in my opinion, like, horrid family. So...
You're throwing in far too much.
Sorry. No, because I have so much to say.
So how do you feel about the book?
Fine.
How do I feel about the book? I really liked this book. So when I read it, it was one of the first... obviously, I read this during, like, my year of drought and where I just couldn't read. Mm. And so what I really loved about this book is that it physically made me feel things, whereas like I just couldn't get that physical reaction, or like I remember the last book I read that gave me that, like, you know, that like thing that tingle in you, like, oh, this like thing is really annoying me, or it's just making me feel things, which is why I think Tayari is phenomenal at being able to do that. The last time I had that was Their Eyes Were Watching God, like the end, where I remember I was and how I felt.
God, I hated that ending.
I didn't really like the book, to be fair.
We were talking about the ending.
Oh, you don't like Their Eyes Are Watching God?
Wait, the ending where she's reflecting about how she's free now.
I loved it.
Because my man died of... what did he die? He got bitten by a wolf.
Rabies.
Yeah, he turned into a werewolf.
First of all, don't you dare, because that ending...
we did an episode on this, remember?
Phenomenal.
Time ago, yeah.
And also, I cannot believe you do not... anyways.
I just didn't like the writing. I remember the writing was just... overly flowery, and that's coming from me.
It wasn't flowery, it was perfect. It was poetry.
Okay. I respect your right to have some things that you like.
I don't respect you, whatever it is that you said.
I like it, that's all.
Oh, okay, well, you know, what do you know? yeah, so I really loved this book because of that. I thought it had the perfect balance of, like, not humour, but drama. It was giving Love and Hip Hop, you know, Hollywood or
Atlanta.
Very gisty. But at the same time, I know that there was a lot of critique of the black middle class family versus the country life of where Roy was from. There was a massive disparity of, I think, class and how that affects a black family. And I also really liked the fact that, as much as when we talk about black men being incarcerated and sent to prison, there was a bit of a focus of what it does to women as well, which I thought was, and families. Specifically, there was a part in the book where the black one, when Roy was coming out of prison, so his sentence gets like revoked and he, you know, they've realised that, you know, he didn't.
And bus case.
Yeah. Free man Roy. And then, yeah, like, so he comes out and there's this like wave of black men coming out of prison on that day that he comes out, and there are like cars filled with women and babies and kids. And there was a part that I really thought was hilarious was, oh, you know, the women drove in the cars, but when like their men came out, they like sat on the passenger seat rather than, you know, so that they can drive. And I was like, interesting. And then there was like mass, like this lonely picture of a man who like didn't have anyone. He just like walked straight down to like the van that will take him to the whatever, like bus stop. Anyways, she's really good at painting this kind of story. But yeah, the big gist was, you know, my man Andre stealing Celestial, but also Celestial's a bit of a bitch. So,
I mean, yeah,
that was chaotic.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love this book. I really want it to be made into like a film.
It definitely will be.
It will be.
I mean,
Oprah's going to make it into a film.
I hope so, because I think there's a lot to talk about and there's a lot to dissect with it. I love the writing, and yeah, I think it's a phenomenal book that really did deserve to win. Alex.
Ray had took her pedestal.
Off, I had a you know. Lot to say.
I think one of the points we probably could discuss is the book was fine. The book was fine. I think that there were, it touched on so many different points, like of American identity and Black American identity. There was a huge kind of conversation, as Ray mentioned, about the Black middle class in America and what that means, and the insecurities that come with, you know, trying to move up in those classes and trying to move up into those spaces. I think that's really she really wrote that quite well.
Very Gatsby-esque.
Like, yeah, like just kind of like, oh, you know, they got the big house on the hill and they bought this from the white man, and they, you know, as Atlanta was becoming a bit more Black and all this different stuff, and it makes me think like, they all went to this HBCU and they all were trying to live up to this American dream, right?
For British listeners who don't know what that is.
Well, they
historically Black university.
Historically Black college.
Imagine ACS, but like it was an actual
An actual
uni, yeah. Not a club.
Not even close, but
that's not monopolized by Nigerians.
Ooh.
I mean, we're keeping it real common.
I mean, you're the West African here. I can't.
I've been to a couple of ACSs and they're usually monopolized by Nigerian students. Anyway, Shah.
So they go to this HBCU. And they go to the HBCU, but it's...
If you get cancelled, I'm actually just pointing out it.
You know what?
I'm Ghanaian, man, it's fine.
Oh, it's true.
They go to the HBCU. And, it was talking about this whole idea of going to university and being able to then elevate yourself into the next level or something. That whole feeling of going to university, like meeting the people that you're going to probably spend the rest of your adult life with and all of this jazz. And, you know, like reading it, I was like, okay, cool. Like, I get that. You know, they were living a very, very typical American life. You know what I mean? Like, whatever background you come from, whether that be middle class or upper middle class, you can kind of make something of yourself.
Yeah.
Roy being the only child and getting all of the attention, all of the love, and being told that you can do anything, it kind of put him in certain positions, like as he became an adult. I liked it. It was a good book, and I think that, you know, it did speak to a lot of questions I had of just about Black America, just generally, just kind of the way, you know, with regards to like what's it called again? You know, like when they have to pledge for particular like
sororities
and fraternities and all this different stuff, and the way that, you know, this friendship between Andre and Celestial kind of maintained itself all the way up to university and then beyond, because I kind of saw that coming. I was like, this has to be they would want to write this
in there.
And if she didn't write it in there, I would have been like, that's quite a progressive thinking that someone of Clary's generation would write into the book.
I don't like Andre. I don't like Celestial.
Right, let's get into the characters then. Fine.
Okay. Well, actually, no. Derek, then, what did you think about it first?
Oh.
Like, just in general.
I mean, I loved it. I loved it. I got through it really quickly. And reading it again, it was just kind of like, as you said, the feelings of books don't really pull me in so many different directions emotionally usually, but this book is one of the ones that really did. And I really enjoyed the, you know, the critique of the prison industrial complex in the US. The prison letters were one of my favorite bits in the book as well, getting an insight into Roy's development.
They were done really well with the audiobook.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Oh, is it? Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
It was really good. It was really well acted out.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. But yeah, the characters, it's like Celeste, I didn't fuck with her, man. In my head, I was thinking, right, your man's in jail and you're doing up Vibe magazine cover. Like, I was getting...
Okay, first of all, that's not a problem.
That's not her fault.
Nah, come on, man. No. She hadn't been to see him, but she's out there, you know. So, come on. Anyway, let me finish. it was just annoying me. These little things do annoy me. I was thinking, come on, man, the brother's down. The brother needs you. But I did really love their relationship, and I loved how Tiari describes it, how it develops, and the little quirks that they had. Like, they're having an argument, then they have a word. Everyone has to go silent and leave the room, and then calm down, and then come back in to discuss.
Was it November 19th or something? November 10th,
something like
November
that.
12th,
yeah,
or something in November.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. I really loved that as well. Andre was just maybe. Probably the most infuriating character I've ever read.
I hate his chapters.
I think it's just because I just know man like this. It's like, why are you waiting in the wings for our next man's girl?
But that was not the case though.
I think that was the case.
That wasn't the case.
Definitely
though.
The case. It's like in Love Actually. Where my man knocks on a woman's door with a place card. What are you doing, bro?
When he's in the house.
Like, come, exactly. What are you doing? Mm. Do you know what I mean? So. I didn't really like that.
You know,
but the class thing I enjoyed, you know, kind of reminded me of. Have you guys watched Insecure?
Yeah.
It reminded me of kind of like Lawrence and Tasha. Like, Lawrence was obviously thinking he's a high value man, and Tasha's supposed to be this country like girl and whatnot. It kind of reminded me of that. But yeah, no. Overall, no, it was good. You know, it was a great read.
So you thought the character that you didn't like the most was Andre.
Yeah, I really didn't like Andre at all. Yeah. I mean, there were times when I didn't like Rory as well, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
There were times when I just thought he was being an idiot.
I didn't like Rory when he went back and, like, got out of prison and just, like, shagged Davina. I was like, what was that?
Yeah, like, that was a bit, like...
Let me tell you something.
I know you needed it. Like, maybe you needed to get it out of your system.
But she was on it. It was, like, two consenting adults. They were like, you know...
He deceived her.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't say.
Because he still wanted.
But he ended up with her anyway.
Yeah.
So only
because of events.
I don't know. We can't really say that though, because we don't know how it would have went the other way. But also the ending was terrible. I didn't like that. I think it was the epilogue, where he converts to Christianity, becomes this Christian guy. Yeah. It annoyed me so much.
Why does that annoy you?
Because I was just like, this is so cheap.
I don't think it's cheap. They're southern. It makes sense.
I don't know. Like, maybe if he came out talking about Alhamdulillah, I would have been a bit more like, okay.
But that wouldn't make sense.
It wouldn't
make sense because they're southern. If it was from New York, I could understand.
No,
that.
I'm talking about what happens when you're in jail.
The prison conversion complex to Muslimics
is very.
But in the South, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't matter if you're in the South.
No, it actually doesn't.
It does.
We're everywhere.
No, it does make sense. Nation of Islam.
We're everywhere.
Malcolm X was from the South.
Yeah, but was he imprisoned in the South?
Actually, I don't know.
Well then.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know, Alex.
My theory stands up until you find the facts.
All right, fair enough. I mean, we're probably sounding very ignorant right now. But
what I don't like about the ending is that it really, when you say cheapens, I think for me it's more so it reduces Roy's character in terms of like everything he's learnt. Like, mm-hmm. being with Celestial, maybe like even just entering that world. And I think what it's trying to say is like, it's like there's no point of like even just going out into the world, because you're still going to end up back at home with, you know, Davina, the babe who's like a cashier at like their version of like, I don't know,
Walmart
or something. And like, that's it. Like, there's no, because even at the beginning, the whole thing was like, I couldn't, like, the first sentence was like, you know, I can't
Davina
wait to get
lovely,
out.
Davina was lovely, man. She looked after Roy, boy.
No, like, I don't know, because it kind of like pitted these like different types of women, like this like entrepreneurial, you know, black woman who's like on the cover of whatever, making dolls. I thought it was very creepy. But then it's like, almost like, saying, oh, and then there's this other woman who's like, you know, she works at Walmart and
giving
she like
him a good soul food.
Yeah, like cooks for him. You know, she's a little bit plump, who's who I think in my head, like comes home, rubs his feet.
Why do you think she's
gives
plump?
Him some babies? I don't
you
know.
You think she would look like Big Mama from Soul Food?
She is described as like
yeah, like a bit of a fuller woman. Do you know what I mean? Okay. And it's like putting these disparity of women, and they both annoyed, like they both, it's like Davina had no substance. We didn't know much about her. Nothing about her.
It's giving Tasha, isn't it?
Like she just had, do you know what I mean? She was just,
I don't know. I think that's unfair. She's not a main character.
I know she's not a main character.
We don't know who she is. She comes into their life as an NPC, in a sense. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I think that's unfair.
I think it was, it's...
I mean, I was happy that Roy got with her. Again, just like in an ideal situation, we were all happy when Lawrence was giving the back shots to Tasha.
Do you know what I wanted? I wanted Roy to get with like another bad bitch who really loved him in the city.
And why is that?
Because
I know why, but why do you think that?
Do you know what it is? Maybe it's because I hate Celestia so much that...
You like aspirational people.
I do love aspirational people.
Especially women.
That's not to say that, like, no, not just women. Like, even with Roy, I'm a bit pissed off at him because it's just like your whole life you wanted to get away from this town because you didn't think much was there. Mm. And... you did that, and like now Celestial's mum like has proved to herself that I don't know. And obviously that has to do with like the whole American system and how it just beats it out of black men, that idea of aspiration, and therefore they just don't end up you know, thriving or having external success.
There's a lot of barriers.
And there's that issue as well. But it just makes me angry that Tayari did that. Which means it's a great book. But
his whole development was stunted because he was put into prison for a crime he didn't commit.
Yeah,
and that happens more times than none in America for black men, and that, so that's one thing. That's a potential trajectory for a lot of black men in that country.
Oh my god,
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, go on, finish.
And then but I don't think his aspiration was stunted. I think his aspiration was cut short because of that.
Yes.
If he wasn't in prison,
he would have gone far.
And I feel like Celestial would have too. There were certain barriers that she needed to overcome internally. There were so many barriers she needed to overcome internally. She did not want to be a married woman. She did not want to be a married woman.
I think she did.
She didn't want to be a married woman. The ending shows this.
I think she wanted to be a married woman to a certain type of man. And so...
Well, what kind of man was that?
Not Roy. So I think she loved Roy's aspiration and stuff, and so when he got put in prison,
she loved his potential.
Yeah, so when he got put in prison, the fact that he didn't even visit, she didn't even visit him.
And then he told her not to.
Yeah, but she still should have come.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
And also, like, talking and like, I don't know.
Yeah, but she came there. But then he said,
yeah, but Alex, come on.
Didn't he say that?
If that's your husband and you know that they haven't committed a crime,
you know why they're telling you not to come. Okay. They will say that, but like, I want to spare you. You know, it's like when someone's depressed, they're going for something. Like, I don't want to be a burden on you, but you know,
you still show up. But yeah, I just feel like there was an uppityness in Celestial that was always there, and it was tested with Roy going to prison, and her like leaving him was inevitable in my head.
It's interesting because I was watching the TV show American Gods last night, and I don't know if you guys have seen it. But anyway,
part of it,
main character Shadow Moon, he's married to Laura Moon, and then Laura Moon starts having an affair with his best friend while he's in prison. Damn. And she says that the mistake she made was telling a big lie, and the lie was that I could wait for him while he was in jail. Mm. And I think that's fair enough, like, you know, having to wait for someone for like 3 years. And I know they say love conquers all and stuff.
No, it don't.
But, you know, it's hard. So in that sense, I kind of understand Celestial's dilemma, but I just think she went about it in the wrong way.
Exactly. So, like, if my husband got 12 years, I don't know, man. I don't know if I could do it. I can't lie.
But this is kind of... But this is However, the internal honest. Dialogue that Roy had, because if they had a child, he feels exactly. that he feels that life would have been different if he had had material things outside of them. They hadn't been married that long.
Yeah.
Would you mind do it if like your babes got put to prison for something and they got like a 12-year sentence but they didn't do it? Maybe, you know, would you wait for them?
I'll be like, I can be your friend. I mean, I can be your friend. No, I mean, keeping it real. If I have to be honest, I'll be like, I can be your friend right now and I can help you through this. But to say that I'm going to be monogamous with you while you're in jail,
yeah.
Come on, 12 years? Come on, bro.
Nah.
It's just not realistic.
So therefore, Celestia,
I will come and pick you up when you're out and introduce you to my children.
And I mean,
I'll come and pick you up with the babies there.
Is conjugal visits, is that a thing in the UK? I don't think so.
Oh, wow, yeah. I don't even know. Yet.
Yeah, so... If it was a thing, maybe. I don't know.
Nah, I'm so sorry. Like, who's going to take me to brunch?
It's different. If children were involved, then...
Okay, no children.
If there's no children, then potentially not then.
As well, exactly. And especially if I was married to a man, I'll know he's getting his back blown out in jail as well. So
you know, women grief. Too.
Huh?
Women too.
Women too. Well. Oh, yeah, as well, yeah.
But like they oranges, get oranges their and their fronts.
Blood. Yeah, true.
Blown out.
Their fronts.
Do you know what I'm saying? So. Anyway,
I was watching this TikTok. Yeah, I was watching this TikTok, and this babe who was in prison, and they were talking about like how these very like dominant women in prison will like check you out first if you're like a newbie to see how they can get to you, and they'll see like, oh, you know, where is she vulnerable? Like,
what was you watching?
It was just some TikTok video.
Oh, it was a TikTok video.
Yeah. Yeah, that's women too. I could not survive prison, you know.
No, but coming back to the framing of black men.
Yeah.
I just want to point out there was an article I read in, I think it was in The Root. A guy wrote a thread, basically, about this woman who has spent her career framing black men to get them thrown in jail.
Wow.
I think she was a lawyer, and she was sleeping with the judge who would usually sentence them as well. There was one woman, they threatened her and said, if you do not say... it's this man, then we're going to do something. So I think they said it would take her children away from her.
So was this
like
a white woman?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was a white woman who was just getting, basically framing these black men and getting them thrown in jail.
That's insane.
It's crazy, isn't it?
There is one bit that I wanted to ask about fathers in this group. So like,
Big Roy.
So each of their fathers, you've got Big Roy.
The OG.
You've got...
The actual father in prison.
What was his name?
Oh gosh, what's his
Othaniel.
name?
Othaniel.
Yes,
his name's Othaniel.
Was it Othaniel?
Roy Othaniel, something. They kept the name.
I'm talking about
Orenthal.
Othaniel. Isn't it Othaniel?
Orenthal. You mean like Orenthal James Simpson?
No, Roy's middle name is Othaniel because they named him Othaniel and then he changed his name to Roy when Olive told him.
I was reading as Orenthal this whole time.
I was like, why would you call someone Othaniel?
So basically, the initial fight.
One second, though.
Oh, sorry, go on.
You got Big Roy, you got Othaniel Sr.
Who's Othaniel Sr.?
Roy's biological dad.
That's Walter.
Walter Othaniel.
Yeah. Whatever.
Okay, Walter. I'm going to Othaniel Sr. Anyway. And what's Celestial's dad's name?
Oh, I forgot. I liked him.
The Celestial's dad. And then we've got Andre's dad. The slick Puerto Rican man. All right, so I'm just saying those are the four fathers that we have.
Yeah, and to put it in context, the initial fight that was like what happened before Roy helps the white woman is they were in a hotel back in Roy's home, which was a big issue because like why are you not staying at home, your parents, but Celestial's a little bitch. Sorry, I don't like that girl. And essentially, Celestial tells Roy that Big Roy is not his dad. And they get into a fight. He walks out and
Roy tells Celestial that.
Is it?
Why would Celestial tell Roy this? Roy tells Celestial this.
It's the other way around.
Yeah, sorry, the other way around.
The first time.
Yeah.
It goes out to get ice, isn't it?
Yeah. Helps this white lady. But then... I thought it was very ridiculous that like he gets put into a prison cell and the man that's in the prison cell with him is his actual father. It's just very Bollywood.
But shit like that happens, man.
No, come on.
Really? It happens. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, probably.
Crazier things have happened in life.
Yeah, yeah. Like, do you know what
I
mean? Like,
I guess.
If you're just a local philandering bachelor that's just around, and then you're going to be in the local prison.
Yeah. It happens in Mama Can't Raise No Man by Robin Travers.
Yeah.
At the end, yeah, his dad's in jail. Dad, yeah. And his brother's in jail with him, actually.
See?
But yeah, I love Big Roy. I think he's such an amazing father figure. And even Celestial's dad as well. It's Celestial's mum. That's a witch.
Why do you say this?
Why do I say that Celestial's mum's a witch?
Why do you say this? I want to know where you're going with this.
I think she... I think, obviously, she wants the best for her daughter.
It's giving misogyny.
I'm leaving here with something.
Do you know what it is? She wants the best for her daughter, but doesn't understand that the best doesn't mean that the man needs to have the right education and the right the right type of place in society. She's very classicist.
We were talking about the fathers and you have brought the mother in.
No, I brought the mother. I'm just saying, you asked. Hello, you asked.
I asked because you brought it.
But yeah, so... there's lots of different types of fathers, but also there's like, what's her name again? Is it Olive?
Yeah, Olive.
Who's Roy's mum, who's a lovely lady.
She didn't like Celestial.
She liked Celestial, but for a good reason. Do you know what I mean? I liked her. So yeah, not misogyny. but it's more so like, I just didn't like the Bapti family. Mm. I just think that they weren't really nice people.
I think that how they all came into fatherhood was very interesting. Roy, you know, marrying Olive and, you know, taking on Roy Jr. And then them having conversations about having more kids. And then Roy's like, and then what Olive's like, oh, no, I don't want you to treat Roy any differently. So, no, and he was happy. He was okay with that.
Mm.
That's one thing. You've got, what's his name? Walter, who was just out here. At the back of the bus with Olive doing whatever they were doing in the segregated South. And then you've got what's her name again? Celestial's dad, who was in a marriage and Celestial's mum was the mistress for 3 years. And then you've got Andre's dad who did the exact same thing. And I'm just thinking like, she's represented like different ideas, but why couldn't it have just been...
Oh, you think she's a man hater?
No, I don't think. Why would you say that? I don't think she's a man hater.
Oh, okay.
But I just think it's. I think it's interesting that she's presented all of these different
ways of
being a father, and then at the end they both end up representing the exact same things. If that makes any sense. So like Roy ended up with Davina and then raising a kid that was not his, and being married, and then Celestial's with Andre and getting married, and then he was the side.
The inevitability.
So they ended up mirroring the exact
thing
that they come from.
Yeah. I think it's quite interesting that father, obviously it has that idea of the relationship between black men and fatherhood in America, especially in a place where you have to have, you know, the talk with your son about how to deal with law enforcement and how black fathers have that kind of relationship with their sons. Something that I literally have never thought about before. So I feel like that is something that was probably explored in terms of having that kind of relationship with children.
I loved the fact that Andre got a talking to by three different men in the way that he did. His dad was like, you're gonna get your ass whooped on that lawn. Take it. The other one was like, how can you come to my table? But this is Celestial's dad. How can you come to my table and talk to me about this? This is like, sort it out. And then Rory Sr. was a bit more compassionate. He was like, you know what I mean? Taking the phone off the hook and saying that this ain't, you know, playing stupid.
No, but
kind of keeping him away from the things before he goes there and does something stupid. I really loved the way that they kind of interacted with him.
Yeah. That fight on the lawn was great. I think it should have lasted longer.
Yeah,
I wanted Roy to not hold back as much as he did.
Mm.
I wanted him to really.
He's a good youth deep down. That's
he's a really good guy.
Yeah,
Roy.
Yeah, I really think he is.
He's a good guy.
He just wanted to love a best city babe, you know, and the city girl tore his heart out.
Uptown girl,
the city girl,
city girls.
Anyway, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked. I felt sorry for Andre. Not so much that I liked it. I felt sorry for him. He came from the most disruption in his life. I just wanted that peace.
By disrupting somebody else's,
it was already disrupted. You guys already said you wouldn't wait for somebody in prison.
We're saying that.
Yeah.
No, but I would like to tell them, like at least tell, hey, FYI, I don't want to be with you. This is what's happened.
Nah, Andre, it's a no for me.
Yeah, no. Andre definitely could have actually just walked away.
Yeah. So the consensus is we love the book.
Yes. I love this book.
Alex is making this face.
I'm not.
Oh, there's another
100% book. There, but it's a good book.
There's another book that she wrote. I got it. I actually haven't read it.
Silver Sparrow.
Yes. And it's also the same mess as well, like in terms of like this guy, he has two families and one of them is a secret.
I've not read it yet.
And he has, yeah, like the kids, the other family obviously know of his other family, but yeah it's still very, it's very much like black.
Very Ghanaian.
I don't know.
Anyway, Sha, let's move on drama. Before I start.
Start cussing people.
All right,
guys, is An American Marriage by Tayari Jones. Let us know what you think. Please send us any messages. Please let us know what you think. There are hella spoilers in here. So if you've read the book already, I probably will put a spoiler warning at the top.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. So if you read the book already, then fine. But let us know.
Actually, hopefully, like before this goes, I will tell you that like this is the book that we're going to read. So that you would have already like read it, and if you haven't, then sorry.
Yeah, we said last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Derek said it's good.
I love it.
You said you love it. You said you love it. I said it's all right.
Well, hopefully next time, whenever we do your book, hopefully you love the book that you've chosen.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm reading it the first time with all of you. So I don't know.
Fantastic.
All right. I kind of just threw in a would you rather because we end up having too much of these like serious conversations with books. But like, I wanted to just.
We've got no book news.
It can come after.
Oh, okay.
Come after. Just to break it up. So I just had to think of some book, some questions. I've got quite a few, but let me just pick this one. Would you rather live in the world of the last book you read or the last movie you watched?
Oh.
I don't watch movies.
I watch movies.
What was the last movie I watched?
I would live in the world of the last. I would live in Bridgerton.
I would like to live in the last movie I watched, but I just know the world is racist in that. It's a film called Genius. It's about a novelist actually. And I think it's set in maybe like the 1930s or 40s, I want to say. The author's Thomas Wolfe.
Okay.
He wrote two novels and then passed away. But it's about his relationship with his editor, Max Perkins, who also edited Fitzgerald and Hemingway. And it's great. It's amazing. It really kind of displays what editing is and how it... Obviously, it's about their relationship and whatever, but the way it discusses... Anyway, I would like to live in that world if it weren't racist, but obviously it is racist, you know, kind of like that Taylor Swift lyric that's been passing around. Like,
what is it?
What's the Taylor Swift lyric?
She says, I think she says something like, oh, I would love to live in, is it like 1640, but without the racists? Or something crazy like that, like going back to when slavery was about.
Yeah.
She would love to live there if it weren't racist. Or something, I can't remember. But she was getting cooked for it yesterday.
I'm screaming.
I kind of brushed past it on Twitter.
Okay.
I don't listen to the Gusses.
You don't listen to Taylor Swift?
No.
But you listen to Beyonce?
Yes.
Oh.
They're not the same. One has
What's
talent,
the difference?
One doesn't.
Oh, is it?
I don't, like, she can't, anyways, I don't think she can sing.
That's why she's so famous.
Well, because she relates to a lot of white women.
Okay.
And, you know, they like her and they...
Sounds you
know,
like you're holding back, Ray. Speak on it properly.
I don't like Taylor Swift. I think she's too highly rated for being really mediocre.
Okay, fair enough.
I would live in Bridgerton, so I've been rewatching Bridgerton for my mental health, and I would live in it because I think
movie.
Oh, that's the movie. Just that whole
Bridgerton's
world. No, it's a series.
It's a series.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't watched a movie, then
fair enough. All right.
I don't watch movies. I haven't watched a movie in a while.
Yes, Alex, you told us you don't watch movies. What do you want, a cookie?
No,
man, keep telling us, man.
Why haven't you been watching TV?
I've been watching TV. I just haven't been watching movies.
Why? You don't like movies?
I've not done anything compelling.
What? Oh my God, I'm going to send you loads of movies to watch.
Go on then.
You won't watch them.
No, send me them.
Okay.
Send me a list.
I'll send you a list.
And I'll try and watch them.
Please do, because like, film is amazing, man. Mm. It's phenomenal. Gosh, if I wasn't me, I'd write for Hollywood films.
Okay.
And then like, I'd have my own movie. Like, you know how like Tarantino films, it would be like Rafiq films. Wow. And I'd win like an Oscar and Academy Award. That'll be so my life.
Okay. You'd be like Shonda Rhimes.
Oh my God. You know, anyways, I love that woman. I bought her like, you know that?
Masterclass.
So did I. Yeah. Actually, I didn't buy it.
So did I.
Sorry. So yeah, Alex, did you read a book that you would live in?
I was just thinking about the latest book. I think it would be Hard to Stop Time. Would I be in there? Because I'm currently watching The Big Bang Theory. So I'm like, would I go into The Big Bang Theory? Or would I go into the world that...
just fiddling with Ray's phone. Man sees Hinge notification.
Oh. Oh my God!
Do you have to say everything you see? Flip it. Oh.
Derek, why are you like this?
The phone went off, yeah, and I thought, oh, let me quickly just fix it up and then just see, oh, Hinge notification.
The right way up.
I'm on Hinge.
Someone was like, what, so you're airing me, yeah?
No.
I'm screaming.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm currently watching Big Bang Theory, but I'm not sure whether I'm going to be... I would go into the How to Stop Time verse or whatever that is, into a world like that.
Hmm.
If I aged 1 year every 15 years, that would be...
Really? Would you do that? I'm so sorry. Take me off.
Would I do that? If I had a condition, that I had to.
Oh, okay. But if you like, could be immortal, would you?
Not immortal, no.
I would be
if I lived long, fine. Yeah. But not immortal. I don't think.
I would be immortal only with the stipulation that I can end my life when I want to.
That's nice.
Yeah. So then when I've seen everything I want to see, I know where society's heading right now.
There's always something that you want to see. There's always something to see.
Not really. I mean, say for example, you're immortal and we've decimated the earth through nuclear war or something. There's nothing left to see.
Fair dues. Fair dues.
Would I want to be immortal? Currently in my headspace, no. I'm tired. Take me off. Oh, no. Cut the show.
All right. That's what you're up. Guys, please.
Alex, why are you laughing so much?
You know what, yeah? You know when that meme was going around, yeah? I thought it was funny. And then I actually watched what it's from. It's not that funny, man. Feel for the brother, man.
What happened?
I think it's a dating show. And he's a queer guy. And I think the guy he's with is like just basically messing around on him. Something like that.
Oh, no.
And he's really upset. All of those memes where someone's crying, they're usually people really crying because they're upset and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we just look, razors creasing.
I mean, but it's funny. Like, I don't, you know?
I'm done. I'm done. I mean, take me out. So. Cut the show. It's the best thing.
You guys are mean, man.
No,
we're not laughing at him.
Not
laughing at his situation. We're laughing at the situation. Anyway. Any book news, guys? Any news and views?
Yeah, the best stuff going on. I mean, you say book news, but it's just there's lots of stuff. What's been going on? Book, Twitter?
What's going on?
There's an article that I found about AI. And no, so it was talking about, is there just too many books? And like, we just need to stop. And especially with the rise of like, apparently AI generated shit. And I was like, what? And I went into a whole like tunnel of like, books just being made via AI and people just...
A lot of cookbooks.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, like AI can do that now. We're in that kind of space. And I'm like, I wonder if...
But you always know it's AI.
Really?
It's not. They're not writing Shakespeare or anything.
No, I know.
Do you know what I mean?
But it's like... I wonder whether intelligence can be so sophisticated to actually give us a really amazing novel. And it's like...
Doubtful.
Could it, you know...
Amazing novels come from the heart. They come from... Well, if you're reading a novel and it's just pure intellect, it's boring.
But... It can, if it can bring subjectiveness into it and emotion, I think that AI could do that. And you would think that it's, you know, coming from the heart.
I mean, I guess. Like Ex Machina. Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's Ex Machina.
It's Machina.
Machina.
No, it's Machina. Because it's machine.
But Ex Machina is the, no, it's the Latin, isn't it?
No. What?
I thought it was Machina. I don't know.
I thought it was like, you know, what's the full thing? Deus Ex Machina.
Deus Ex Machina.
Deus Ex Machina.
Oh.
I mean, you might be right, Ray, to be honest with you. I remember I listened to an episode of The Mostly Lit from ages ago.
Yeah.
Where we were arguing about, I was like, oh no, it's Betty Friedan. And you're like, no, Derek, it's Betty Friedan. Friedan. Yeah. And I was arguing with you and I went and Googled it and I was wrong.
Well, it's Friedan.
It's Friedan.
Yeah, it's Friedan.
Yeah, Deus Ex Machina.
Oh, damn. I thought it was Machina because I was like, oh, it's a machine. Rah. Damn, I'm a real immigrant.
I mean, I think that's probably what they were going for anyway. I think a lot of people would think that.
Yeah, I don't know. But AI and writing novels, I mean, the human touch and being able to access beauty in that way, I don't know if we're going to be able to replicate that through AI. I'm not 100% sure.
Maybe one day. Maybe we already have and we're the AI. And we just don't know it.
No, there's no way I'm AI because I'll be faulty. What?
I mean, you are faulty, right?
with the virus. Just malware.
Error 4.404. Like, no, there's no way I'm AI. Because who will make AI that is my brain?
I think there is
AI with extreme.
There are ideas, you know, like I guess kind of these crude philosophical ideas that how do we know that we're not actually living in the matrix or
I think, like, obviously in a way we are like Allah's Sims, right? I get that, like, he, you know, in that kind of context, but I don't think we're machine. I think our technology is grounded in humanity,
I guess.
Well, that's what they're programmed us to think.
Okay,
but who's they?
Exactly.
Oh, this guy. Do you know what? Isn't the point of the article, though, about there being too many books in general?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, how selective do you think that the publishing houses should be?
You know what? I actually think it should be more selective than it is.
Mm.
I do think that there's just loads of books. But then again, when you do impose selection, then it just becomes what it is now, I guess, which is just whoever is in charge and what they relate to gets published. And if there's hella white people in charge and hella uppity, you know, Oxbridge types, elite, then that's whatever is give. I don't know. Like, I think on one hand,
basically, people from diverse backgrounds probably wouldn't have a chance to be published if these publishing houses weren't able to publish all of this crap.
Yes.
Basically, throwing things and seeing what sticks against the wall. Mm. And then from whatever sticks against the wall, so they say that budget is what funds them and allows them to publish books that may not be as commercially successful.
Yeah.
However, I don't know how true that is, but that's what they say.
Unfortunately, I think that...
Trickle down economics, basically.
Unfortunately, I think that there isn't a way... Because on one hand, it's like, yeah, like, I guess it's whatever sticks and people love. But I do think it really should be a matter of you have a really great manuscript and someone really loves it. But then there is that whole subjectiveness of writing, that you could love something. Like, for example, if An American Marriage came into my, you know, I would publish it without... I'll be like, absolutely, this is amazing.
Mm.
Whereas I give it to Alex, he'll be like, yeah, I guess.
No, necessarily. Because it's not necessarily always about the story. Sometimes it's about the marketability of it.
Yeah,
does it fit the time? Does it make...
I see this making money?
I can see why that was commissioned. It makes sense for the time.
I guess.
2019.
Yeah.
Incarceration. Like...
Yeah.
But that not being the focus of the story, the focus being...
I mean, that's a perennial theme.
That's
for
already like...
Americans.
Again, so that's already
there is that
else.
Like aspect of it, whereas like, I guess I'll be a terrible editor then, because yeah, I am very sentimental and...
You gotta look at the bigger picture, man.
I know.
Take a step back from the canvas.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not that way inclined.
Okay.
But that's an important thing, but then that's how you create something that, in my head, isn't that great, but because you think it fits with the times, you just send it out. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's not just that, because it's part of the ingredients that make the book successful. the story obviously is like 70% of the thing, but the rest of it is how will it sell? Will it make a difference?
Yeah. I guess.
I think that's my. Those are my values, though.
No.
Some people
I
will
understand.
Be like, "Will it sell loads?" And
I think that's what the majority.
That's the majority of it. My thing is, will it make a difference? And it clearly has made a difference. It has made a difference. I feel.
In what though?
In just the conversation around black love and what that looks like. You know what I mean? It's like it has the typical themes of of crime or whatever and incarceration and false imprisonment.
Yeah.
But it's more of a narrative on class and choices and all this different stuff.
Can I just say, in terms of this book, there was one thing that came out of it during that time, or like 2019, whenever it was published, and also just moving forward. What is it with black books and this silhouette covers? It was a massive thing. So this had it, the same thing.
7 days in June.
Yes, The Vanishing Half. There were so many.
Girl, Woman, Other.
Yeah, so there were so many of these like silhouette, blackness, identity, like, and it's just the same type of cover.
They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. They think, how can we show everybody that this
is a black book?
It's a black book without telling you it's a black book.
You know, Derek, your second book?
Losing the Plot.
Yes. Mm. That came out. I still hated him. But I remember seeing the cover and being like, it's a good cover. I'll give him that.
It's a great cover. Yeah.
I remember being like, oh, that dickhead. Okay, cool. Mm. I like the cover. Even though it's very silhouette-y still, but it's like there's a kid or whatever. I remember being like, fuck's sake, that's a good cover. I'll give him that.
It's a great cover. I loved it. I love it as well.
But
shout out to Emma Eubank.
So yeah, that's just the final thought of, please change your covers, man.
Okay. Well, if you round up there, then.
Oh no, I can't say that.
If you round up there, then. Yes, guys, go and listen to or read or American Marriage.
Yes.
At any of the books that we mentioned at the top of the show.
Do we know what we're reading next time to tell the audience?
Yes, Less Than Zero.
Yes, Less Than Zero.
By Bret Easton Ellis.
Okay, so we're going to be reading that for next time. Remember to shout out Mostly Lit on Twitter and hit us up on TikTok. What's the TikTok, Ray?
Mostly Lit Podcast.
And keep up with the content there. If anybody's got anything else to add, we can add it here. If not,
and email us if you have any queries and questions. It'll be quite nice to kind of hear from the audience, especially as this is our like second episode, so we're still finding our feet. Tell us what you would like to listen to and like for us to talk about. If you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer them on air.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Alright, cool. I've been Alex,
Raifa,
and Derek.
Alright, peace out.
Bye.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.